Warning.
The We're Not Normal podcast assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors that Gregory may make when pronouncing the names of people, places, and things. Know that Gregory is not trying to disrespect anybody. The We're Not Normal podcast is not trying to disrespect anybody. Also, all of our information is provided by on Greg's phone and google.com. Thank you for listening to We're Not Normal podcast. Stay tuned.
Sit still. We have temporarily taken over your motion picture screens to bring you the following message.
You're doomed!
Wow, it's windy out here.
It's like a tornado.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the We're Not Normal podcast. Okay, the wind has calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the We're Not Normal podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're an old listener and you're coming back, welcome back. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to your to this podcast right now. Subscribe, hit the rating button, rate this podcast 5 stars.
Oh,
and cuz you know we delivered that 5-star delight.
Oh my
you,
God.
You already know. And then share the podcast with other people of like-mindedness, whoever likes ghosts, UFOs, all weird stuff going around the world, all that type of stuff. Whoever is interested in that in your life, share it with them, and we'll be glad to take them in our little group cult right here.
Wow.
All right, so today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Penhurst Asylum. Yeah. Oh, I forgot that button goes twice. Yes, the Penhurst Asylum. So, or it's actually named originally the Eastern Pennsylvania State Institution for the Feeble-Minded and Epileptic. Or
I definitely like Penhurst better.
Or the Penhurst State School and Hospital. Since it's like, there's like separate buildings in this whole campus type of thing. So the Penhurst State School and Hospital, originally known as the Eastern Pennsylvania State Institution for the Feeble-Minded and Epileptic. Oh, geez, yeah, I'm glad they shortened the name eventually.
Yeah, just Penhurst.
Jesus Christ, man.
That works.
Was a state-run institution for mentally and physically disabled individuals of southeastern Pennsylvania, located in Spring City. After 79 years of controversy, it closed on December 9th.
Spring City, Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
Did you say that?
Yes, Spring City, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So it closed its doors 79 years December 9th, 1987. I'm sorry.
Wow.
So this is a picture of what it...
You weren't even a twinkle in your mother's eye.
Oh, no, not yet.
I was 7.
It's like 3 years off.
Wow. That looks nice.
Yeah, so this, the style of it, I think it's like a Jacobean revival. I never heard of a Jacobean
revival.
Never.
Don't even know what the fuck that means.
So a Jacobean Jacobean style of buildings is the second phase of a Renaissance architecture in England. So it's named after King James the Fifth and First.
Wow.
So here's that Castle Brownridge Hall in Birmingham. That's how. That's where this.
That's beautiful.
The Pennhurst building gets its style from. All right. So.
Yeah, I really wanted to go there last month.
Oh, the Pennhurst.
Yeah, I told you that Jack Osborne and
yeah, when they
Kindred
were doing
Spirits
that,
and
that big ghost hunt.
Ghost Hunters was gonna be there. Yep. But it came up upon it came up really fast, so you gotta have
weren't
money
you,
to go to that shit.
Weren't you worried about like ghosts attaching yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing you should worry about. Anybody should worry about.
Yeah. So with the material.
Oh my
God. It's all brick, steel, and concrete. All the buildings. And then the floor counts. So here's the different buildings. There's the administrative building, 4 floors. Assembly building, 4 floors. Devon Hall, 5 floors. Kitchens, dining halls, 4 floors.
Wow.
Hershey Hall, 5 floors.
Wow.
Hospital, 4 floors. Industrial halls, 4 floors. Laundry facilities, 4 floors.
Wow.
Limerick Hall, 5 floors. Mayflower Hall, 5 floors.
Wow.
Penn Hall, 4 floors. Wait, is it the floors or is that
4 rooms?
Maybe. Okay.
I was like, how many fucking floors does this fucking thing have?
it is a big freaking facility.
I see that, but you know, it looks like it probably only has 4 floors.
But yeah, when I get to the picture, because this place is actually like its own little city. You know,
that's
like
cool.
how they have those
ghost towns.
Well, not those ghost towns, but like those mini little city things. Like they have them around here in like more. In like Raleigh or something, and
really,
like
they have a mini city.
Yeah, so they have like these like mini cities where they have all the shops that people could go to. These people like live in like I don't want to call them condos, but like there's like fancy schmancy apartments, and then they live in the apartments, and then the shops are like within like the same. So it's like its own like little circle.
That's so nice. So you gotta have money to do that.
They're spending a lot of money on there. I heard it was about like maybe like $3,500 and up
for like per rental or
per rental or something.
Wow.
Yeah, or maybe $5,000 a month.
Yeah. No.
Then you got all these amenities nearby, but
still, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but and so anyway, with Pennhurst. Since they wanted to, which I'll get into later, they wanted to keep the people who are mentally and physically inept separate from the real world, what they call it, like from the normal people.
We're not normal.
So we might have been in here.
Yeah, we probably would have been locked up.
I know for sure. Yeah, I know for sure that I probably would have been there because they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, you know, the doctors were.
Yeah.
Telling my mom that I, you know what, they were offering me they were offering medication for me. So, yeah, I possibly would have been in one of these.
I get offered medication all the time.
So yeah, you would. Jeez.
They do.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
not all the time.
I go to the doctor. They're like, "Hey, do something else we can prescribe to you?" Every fucking time, man. I'm telling you, that's all doctors do. Here, let me give you this. But it is that way, though. That's why you see so many celebrities and stuff die, because every ache and pain and tingle and everything in your body, they got a medicine for that.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's why Western medicine is kind of iffy, you know.
True.
What was I saying? Oh, yes. So, yeah, basically, yeah. They were kept separate from the normal population of people because they didn't want people, you know, with mental disabilities and all that spreading their genes, so to say. So it's like sort of like a way to like keep them like separate.
Quarantine.
I guess it's like quarantine, but it's like an extended quarantine. There's like no end period that like they're there and then they're there forever.
Wow, that's crazy.
Keeping them.
And you know what's crazy is all these people that own these buildings, like asylums and stuff, are probably the ones who need to be in them more than anybody else.
Yeah. They're the real crazy ones.
Yeah.
So in 1903, the Pennsylvania legislature authorized the creation of the Eastern State Institution for the Feeble-Minded and Epileptic.
Somebody heard him.
One of the dogs, probably. Yeah, it wasn't me. You would have heard it if it was me.
What are you? no. Mm-mm.
She ate good. That's why.
Okay.
So, and a commission was organized to take into consideration the number and status of the feeble-minded and epileptic persons in the state and determine a placement for construction to care for these residents. This commission discovered 1,146 feeble-minded persons in insane hospitals and 2,627 in almshouses. I don't know what an almhouse is.
Let's look in this up.
So an almshouse was a charitable housing provided to people in particular community, especially during the Middle Ages. They were often targeted at the poor of a locality, at those from certain forms of previous employment, or their widows, and at elderly people who could no longer pay rent and are generally maintained by a charity
trustees. Wait, hold on. Elderly people who can't pay rent doesn't mean they're psychologically something wrong with them.
No, but this almshouse is pretty much to support them.
Gotcha. So it's like a...
So it's a bed house, pretty much.
Senior house.
Yes, or poor house or hospital.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Gotcha.
All right. So, yes, and so about over 2,000 in these almshouses, county care hospitals, reformatories, and prisons. They also brought immigrants and inmates in this.
Oh, God.
In the Pennhurst. So
wow.
Anybody who was like criminally insane or deemed mentally insane or whatever.
Yeah, well, now if you're criminal, they just...
Yeah, they just, they either let you go.
Yeah, they let you. All right, then see you later. Bye.
Yeah.
They let you wander around free.
Oh, no, no. Well, no. They definitely.
Yeah, they do.
They stick you in like a...
No, they don't. They make them. They make a movie about you is what they do.
Wait, what was the last one?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, they do. Okay, I see what
you're
saying.
Ted Bundy, right?
Yeah, they do.
So, no, if you're a criminally insane person, they're going to go make a movie about you, make you famous.
I mean, Ted Bundy was actually, his IQ was pretty up there.
I don't give a fuck.
But, okay.
gives him a right to
No.
Famous?
He's not famous. He's infamous.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. And so who are in need of specialized institutional care? The legislation stated that the buildings would be in two groups, one for the educational and industrial department and one for the custodial or asylum department. The institution was required to accommodate no fewer than 500 inmates or patients with rooms for additions. Keep in mind with that, this is going to get wild.
Oh, I'm sure they always are.
Wesley White, the former president of the American Association of Medical... Oh, shit. Dosimistrist?
Yep, Dosimistrist. He had two mistresses.
Wow. Was appointed superintendent of the facility. All right, so the building designation. So from 1903 to 1908.
I remember them days. I was kidding.
Well, this was also like in the year range where the Goldfield Hotel was, you know, being thought up and built. So the first buildings were constructed on, guess how many acres? It's a shitload of acres.
500?
Way more than that.
800.
No. You're way low.
20,000?
No.
50,000?
No.
Really?
Yep.
Go ahead, say it then.
So, okay, so on 633,913 acres.
That's a lot of acres.
Of Crab Hill in Spring City, Pennsylvania, Chester County, on what was referred to as the lower campus, out of the first few buildings constructed. Now, these buildings were labeled with letters. So F was the girls' dining room, G was the kitchen and storeroom, H, I, and K were at were a cottage for the girls. N was the boys' dining room. P was the teacher's home. Q, T, U, and V were a cottage for boys. R was a school. W was laundry. That one makes sense. And sewing.
Go ahead. Yep. Say it. Sewing room. Because we did a lot. They did a lot of sewing back then. Yep.
And sewing. And X was the powerhouse. Oh. See, like, I got confused, like, you know, with the girls and the boys' cottages.
Why so many confused? Wait, girls have penises, girls have vaginas.
It took me a little bit to catch that.
Yeah.
No, wait. So, F? Okay, girls had the dining room was F. Boys were N.
Yeah. They had to keep them separated.
Yeah, I know, but like with the letters, wouldn't it? And then the cottages. Okay, so girls, it was H, I, and K.
That's where they slept.
Yeah, H, I, and K.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boys had Q, T, U, and V.
So obviously there was more boys with disabilities than girls.
Yeah.
Typical.
Hmm. We boys, you know, they...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's always a... Issues. Always a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And every 20 of 100, there's a problem. P was used as a temporary administration building until the institution's opening in 1918, along with the opening of L and M in 1919. In 1921, Whitman and Wilson... The first and the second were constructed, along with the Penn Hall for employee housing. In 1929, the assembly building was complete and functioned as a gymnasium and auditorium. The buildings on the lower campus are currently labeled with letters such as F, I, K, P, Q, R, N, U, T, no, U, V, T, W, X, Y, Z, Excelville is... No, I'm just kidding. Okay, an X. And the names later assigned in the 1960s. Oh, with names later... Oh, hold on a second. Wow. Okay, so these names, all right? So the lower campus buildings. So the names are for the administration, Philadelphia, Quaker, Rockwell, Franklin... Noble, Union, Vincennes, I think that's how you say it, Teenycom?
Oh my god. Yep, Teenycom.
But anyway, like, yeah. With all these, like, the letters they eventually put...
All the names, Vincent, and or whatever you said.
Yep.
And they come, Teenycom? Really?
Teenycom?
Oh my god. There was one special person there that decided that name.
Teenycom. No. So here's how the whole place looked, and you could believe that this over 600,000 acres.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it's its own little like city. Area.
Yeah.
So the older buildings designed by Philip H. Johnson were two-storied and made of red brick, terracotta, and granite trimmings. They were connected by fireproof tunnels with walkways on top of the tunnels for use of transporting residents, with a parallel steam piping system and were distributed on the 1,400-acre campus in the Cottage Plan Formation. Campus in the Cottage Plan Formation. The buildings were designed to provide a large number of small rooms occupied by 2 to 3 beds, a few small dormitories with 8 to 10 beds, and a large day room for exercise. George Lovett was the architect for several of the buildings constructed post-1937. The central administration building has 2 side porte cochères, I think that's how you say that, a front portico, and a copper cupola in the center of the roof.
Oh, the cupola.
The cupola.
Oh, my God.
The hospital building, Whitman and Wilson 1 and 2, are not tunnel connected, nor is Penn Hall and the powerhouse. The remaining cottage buildings are L and I, shaped with the exception of Dietary, which is Y-shaped, and Devon Hall, which is H-shaped. Okay. This thing also had its own railroad system.
Wow.
Just to like bring in food and supplies or whatever they else they needed from, you know, the outside area. So
that's crazy.
So yes, yeah, so coal and other supplies were delivered by rail for decades to operate the powerhouse. Tracks are still visible under the pavement behind Dietary and Devon Hall, which allowed boxcars to be brought directly onto the main campus. The railroad tracks have been removed and are now part of the Schuylkill River Trail. I'm probably fucking pronouncing that wrong.
Mm.
All right. So it's opening 1908, in November 23rd, patient number 1 was admitted to the hospital. Okay? Now, within 4 years, it only took 4 years in operation, Pennhurst was already overcrowded and under pressure to admit immigrants, orphans, and criminals. Residents, okay, for classification, residents were classified into mental categories of imbecile or insane, into physical categories of epileptic or healthy, and into dental categories of good, poor, and treated teeth when admitted. You know, the thing with this poor mistreatment of these people, there were people that were biting other people.
Of course.
And what the doctors would do to try and solve it, they would pull out the people's teeth. They would pull out that person's teeth. Like, all their teeth.
So that way they wouldn't bite anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
This thing is dark. It's like, so dark. Eugenics was
But I can imagine it being really crazy, though. I mean, it's not like when two kids bite. You know, when two kids bite, it's, you know, it's pretty bad. But imagine being an adult.
Yeah.
And biting another adult.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Sorry, if I'm going to bite you, I'm taking something off.
Yeah.
Taking something with me.
Yeah, it's sad. And,
it is.
Oh, man. Pulling all their teeth out is fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, okay, so... Oh, yeah, my bad. I lost my train of thought in here. So the branches of, industries, the branches of industry which residents were assigned to were mattress making, shoemaking, and repair, grading, farming, laundry, domestic duties, sewing, I said it right that time,
mm-hmm.
baking, butchering, painting, and working in the store. So they assigned everybody with all these, like, to a certain type of task, certain jobs and all that. Okay, so here comes the segregation and eugenics. So in 1913, the legislature appointed a commission for the care of the feeble-minded, which stated that disabled people were unfit for citizenship and posed a menace to the
wow.
peace, and thus recommended a program of custodial care. Furthermore, the commission desired to prevent the intermixing of the an intermixing of the genes of these imprisoned, of those imprisoned with the general population, in the biennial report, the legislator submitted by the Board of Trustees. Pennhurst's chief physician quoted Henry H. Goddard, a leading eugenicist, as follows: "Every feeble-minded person is a potential criminal. The general public, although more convinced today than ever before that it is a good thing to segregate the idiot or the distinct imbecile, they have not as yet been convinced as to the proper treatment of the defective delinquent, which is the brighter and more dangerous individual."
Wow.
Shit. So the treatment of women. In 1916, the Board of Trustees initiated a plan to increase the capacity of the institution by constructing cottages specifically for women to segregate them from the men, in part to prevent pregnancies.
Jeez.
Yeah. So there was a lot of, going on.
You're too much.
So that's why they had to.
Too much.
They had to stop the lovemaking from going on.
Stop the madness.
Yes.
I'm sure there was no lovemaking, honey. Well, there may have been, but who knows?
That was pretty.
Maybe there was. Maybe there was people who found each other.
That... Yeah. So 1968, the conditions of the Pennhurst were finally exposed. A five-part television news report anchored by local WCAU-TV correspondent Bill Baldini. And in 1981, a Time magazine article described the place as having a history of being understaffed, dirty, and violent.
Wow.
In 1983, 9 employees were indicted on charges ranging from slapping and beating patients, including some in wheelchairs, to arranging for patients to assault each other.
To assault each other. They were...
Just like...
No, you take the salt.
So they just had the just sanctioned beatings just in here.
And if it was planned by somebody, that's some sick motherfucker.
Right, yeah,
there.
Crazy.
Yes, I would like you to beat this other person. Thank you.
The Haldeman case, which resulted in the closure of the institution, also detailed widespread patient abuse. There's a lot of things.
Negativity.
So you could see why there would be possible hauntings in this asylum.
But that's sad though. You know, people have gone through all this drama there, and then to have to haunt it is sad.
Yeah.
I wish they could just be free, and let their spirits be free, not haunt a place that tortured them forever.
Right. It's sad. And then once they got exposed for what they were doing with.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah. So if that new segment, it was called The Suffer the Little Children.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen little bits of it, and it was hard to watch. I mean, you've seen people rocking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they had people, they had kids tied down to the beds.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could see I can't imagine watching 5 minutes of it. And that's what outraged people and demanded that the whole thing be shut down. And it's just sad that it took that long, 79 years.
Yeah.
And and they just went completely over the limit of the of what they were allowed to.
But doesn't that always happen?
Yes, and it did happen with the last asylum that we did.
Yeah, I feel like that always happens, where they always get a little too much people, and then it becomes even more of a problem. Not like they weren't a problem already, but yeah.
And they were just like sick ways of them just being like being treated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard there was like a doctor there that purposefully put something in like a injection to make the injection slow and painful.
Oh my God. See, people are sick.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they were calling all these, you know, all these inmates, you know, the sick ones, when in actuality the doctors and the owners are the sick motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So when, okay. So the, Post Town Mercury put out a newspaper and this infamous title or front page of the newspaper says Pennhurst, the shame of Pennsylvania.
Mm.
So when one patient was asked by the interviewer what he would most like in the world, if he could have anything he wanted, the sad and withdrawn reply was simply to get out of Pennhurst.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. China, I'm trying to make this as like light as I can, but it's like it's hard with this one. I mean, the last one like the punishments were, I don't know, like I guess this one is like the punishments were more harsh. But you know, not to compare like apples to oranges.
Right.
This is just crazy. Well, let's get into ghost hauntings here. There's not really much of like detailed evidence of like ghost hauntings. There's like been reports of people like hearing sounds of screaming and vomiting and hearing doors close, like slam close and all that. But there's like nothing like really evidence of
Wait.
What's up?
Tell me, what is the sound of vomiting? I want to know what that sounds like. Can you sound that?
You want me to do it?
Yeah, do it.
Oh, sorry, listener, if you're sensitive to the sound of puking.
Yeah.
If you are, just skip ahead for like 15 seconds. So I guess the sound goes like.
How do you know that person's not having breathing issues or something like that? Screaming because they're getting hurt.
Oh, the spirit? I don't know.
Why does it have to be a sound of vomiting? Like, how would you know?
I don't know if the person's actually hearing, like, stuff splatter on the ground after the...
Insane.
You'd think that would be a telltale sign of vomiting.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's crazy. Anyway, after they closed it, it eventually turned into a haunted attraction. I believe back in 2017.
Really?
It turned into a haunted attraction. Mm. But don't quote me on that. Let me make sure right here. I believe it was like fairly recent where they turned it into a haunted attraction. And you know, like it's, you know, there's people that are against calling it like, against like everybody, like against it becoming a haunted attraction, you know,
because it's a history building.
Yeah, and then the stuff that happened to it.
Yeah, it's a sad place. Yeah, why would you want to? Yeah,
you know, it's like treating it like a pretty much like a paranormal zoo.
But it, what if it is?
You know, have the children's room as like the petting zoo.
No, I'm not saying put animals in it. I'm just saying, you know, what if that's, if it is, what if it is like that? Now it's probably getting more recognition than any other time.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay. 2000.
I just want to, what's the difference between that, you know, discovering this paranormal thing in this building and trying to, I don't want to say endorse or whatever. What's the difference between that and people digging up mummies in Egypt?
Well, with the digging up the mummies in Egypt, they're actually...
It's all historical.
Yeah, but with, you know, the haunted attraction thing, like the...
It's still historical. People actually get to walk into a building that, you know, was like a sad environment.
Yeah.
But people know when they walk into that building what they're walking into. Mm-hmm. So...
Okay, yes, back in like 2017. So by the end of 2016, demolition had begun on some parts of some buildings on the upper campus. And in 2017, bookings for daytime history tours, photography tours, and overnight paranormal investigations became available through the Haunted Attractions website. Proceeds from the tours... Proceeds from the tours go towards the upkeep of the grounds and restoration of the remaining buildings.
So it's not like they're not trying to do anything good for it. They're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
It costs a lot of money to upkeep an old building. So.
Yeah, and then definitely like having tours around the place and people willing to pay to investigate.
Yeah.
Knowing
that their money is going to good cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the
the same thing as going to a zoo. Like, yes, it's horrible to have animals caged up when they deserve to be free, like everybody else. But at the same time, we know that our money is going to the zoo to help pay for their land, their feeding, their houses, the animal houses, and you know, stuff like that. Right?
Definitely. Right.
Yeah.
So the Travel Channel's television show Destination Fear filmed at the location for the fifth episode of their first season in 2019. By 2020, Hershey, Rockwell, and Dietary Halls were all deemed unsafe for reuse. That March, demolition began, and by November, all three buildings had been demolished. On June 8th, 2021, heavy metal band Motionless in White. I don't think I've ever heard of them. They must be a new heavy metal band.
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know a song?
No, but I have heard of them.
Huh. Performed their
They have like t-shirts at Hot Topic.
Ah, Motionless in White.
Yeah.
Motionless in White.
I bet if you looked it up, you would be like, oh, maybe I have seen that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Performed their Deadstream 2. Oh my god. Sorry. Deadstream 2 live at Pennhurst Concert on the grounds in front of the main building entrance. The concert was streamed all the following day. Let me look up this Motionless in White. It's great. I don't think I've ever heard of them.
Well, I have. I don't know if I've ever really listened to their songs, but I've heard them.
Yeah.
You see it? You see them?
I looked them up a little bit.
No, I meant see a picture. Do you see a picture of them?
Oh, Motionless in White. Motionless in White. I would have to look up a song.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're pretty much like face painted.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's... I think it's makeup, yeah.
Oh, they're Pennsylvanians. They're from Scranton. All right. Never heard of their songs before. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Pennhurst. What do you think of Pennhurst?
It's sad. It sounds sad. I think what they're doing is good to have these tours to get money to help fix the buildings. I think that's a good idea. Some buildings need restoration. But then again, I can see why people don't want it restored because it was just bad omen altogether. So, I don't know. Would I have gone there? Probably before we started doing our podcast, yes. I probably definitely would have done that. But ever since we started our podcast, I realized that
and watching Ghost Hunters mm-hmm. and ghost shows like that, I realized that you can attach entities, ghosts can attach themselves to you, and you can bring that home to your family, and that's not something I'm trying to do.
Right, yeah. And it's definitely risky going to places like that. Not saying that there's entities that are malevolent at this facility.
You don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
I guess there might be maybe like residual energy from the doctors that were performing
crazy-ass doctors.
These malnutrition acts.
Yeah.
And just these violent acts toward these patients that were at this facility that were supposed to be there to get like cared for.
Yeah.
And it's just like crazy that the patient's family just, you know, just dropped them off the facility because they were different, and then they didn't want anything to do with them, and they just like left them there, and then they just forgotten, and sad that they they just like went like that.
It is. It's very sad.
Very. this is one of those heavy episodes. It's don't mean for it to be so heavy. I was like trying to find like some way to make it light, but you know, there really isn't like a real way to make it a light episode. But
how many people was there, like, did on the interview that you watched, was there anybody that was still alive or still around that was a patient?
So the dude that I believe it was, there was like some ex-patient where the ex-patient made a book, actually. Ex-patient of, let's look it up real quick, of Pennhurst. Looking it up on this one. Pennhurst book. All right. Pennhurst and the Struggle. All right. I believe the dude's name is Roland Johnson. So this is from the New York Times. He survived 13 years of neglect and abuse.
Wow.
Including sexual assault.
Wow.
At the notorious Pennhurst State School and hospital outside of Philadelphia before emerging as a champion for the disabled. This picture of him right here.
Wow.
So in 1958, when Roland Johnson was 12, his parents sent him to the Pennhurst State School and Hospital outside Philadelphia. There he would spend 13 tormented years living through the nightmare of the institutionalization that was commonplace in mid-20th century America. Terrified and confused, Roland, who had an intellectual disability, quickly discovered the inhumane realities of Pennhurst, including the neglect, beatings, and sexual assault.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And since he was black, he encountered toxic racism roiling life both outside and within the institution's walls. So he wrote... Okay, so after the long ride up there, it was just horrible. Johnson wrote of his arrival at Pennhurst in a posthumously published autobiography, Lost in a Desert World. He described himself as having been lost and lonely as if in a desert world. So, yeah, this guy's like been through a lot. Mm-hmm. But yes, after he got released, after the lawsuit like that, went against like Pennhurst and ordered the immediate release of the residents or patients there.
Right.
He like wrote his like autobiography and like pretty much like explaining what like was happening.
That's crazy.
In all there.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, man. well, what else?
That could have been you or me, anybody. That could be anybody with
you know, problems, mental issues or whatever.
Yeah. It's a shame that that people got treated like that. Like,
but people still get treated bad, even to this day.
You think they still like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm not saying just in asylums, nursing homes.
Oh, no, that's what
you know, any place people go where they're sick or, you know, hospitals treat people bad too. And it's just sad.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, like nursing homes and.
Yeah.
And then,
I think some people just naturally like to torture people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, so I guess maybe we're done with this episode. I don't think there's like anything else we could say about this episode. I mean, we're bringing awareness, I guess.
Yeah.
To another one of these fucked up institutions that were like allowed to operate.
Yeah. And for 70 something years.
Yeah.
Before somebody was like, hey, this is not happening.
Hey, stop this. Stop this right now.
So, you know, good job to that person that was able to stop that.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, hopefully nothing to this manner is happening nowadays.
It
is. I'm sure not to this manner. I'm sure, like...
You're sure?
I'm hoping.
I disagree with you. I'm pretty fucking sure shit like this is going down.
Oh, God. Hopefully it gets exposed. Hopefully somebody makes a news report about it.
Yeah, and then puts them, you know, makes a movie about it, makes them infamous.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys. That was the episode. If you enjoyed this episode, you know what to do. Like the podcast, share the episode, share the podcast to make sure it climbs up the charts. And what else can I say? Have a good week, and we will see you in the next episode. Love peace, and chicken grease. Bye.
Bye.